Turn with me again back to 1 Thessalonians. The church of Thessalonica was located. Thessalonica was the capital city of the Roman province Macedonia. Acts 17 tells us about Paul and Silas going and preaching there to them for the space of 3 weeks. And after the space of 3 weeks, a riot broke out, and Paul and Silas were made to leave the city. They were cast out of the city, is what the scripture says. I would imagine that you and I, having put in 3 weeks' worth of work in a place like that, and then being thrust out and not really seeing very much of a response, or seeing just the conflict, it would be grievous to us. And the scripture's not clear on whether it was to Paul and Silas or not. But the glorious news is that sometime later, it says a great multitude heard the gospel, and the Lord raised up a church in Thessalonica. And this is who the letter is being written to. See, it's all about the Lord's timing. It's all about the Lord's purpose. Even though we can't see the results of what we just look to Christ. We're not looking for results, are we? No, I'm not. We're not looking to see numbers increase or... No, it's all about Him. It's all about Him. We look to Him, don't we? And in doing so, when the Lord purposing Paul and Silas to do so, the Lord used them to raise up a church. And so His word will not return void. We can rest in that. Now let's read here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Again, it says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of love and labor of love, your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of man we were among you for your sakes. What sweet salutations the Lord's people have one towards another. We see Paul's love towards each of the churches that he's writing to, and what he's declaring unto them is the same thing we hope to be declaring tonight. It's the finished work of Christ. But he says, grace be unto you. What more could we ask for but to have grace of God unto us and peace? To have peace with Him. There is no way we can describe how glorious that is. That Paul is telling them, grace from God, I love you, I'm praying for you often, I desire to come to preach to you again. When we get later on in the book, we'll see, not tonight, Sunday, we'll see that he wanted to come see them. He wanted to be with them. He said, I left there thinking I would never go back. You know, that's kind of, I got thrust out of the city. If I went back, I figured they'd probably kill me, but somebody heard. The Lord saved some people, and it raised up a church. How glorious is that? And then Paul says, I wish I could come back, but he actually says our adversary, Satan, prevented him from doing that. He was implying that every time he would turn, it was always a thorn in the flesh or something where the Lord was causing the adversary to make it seem like he was preventing Paul. And we know why, because we have two glorious letters that you and I, that's been inspired by the Holy Spirit, that we get to glean from. And there's certainly gleanings in this chapter we just read. There's some crumbs from the Lord's table I hope he lets us see tonight. We find out later that Timothy was sent in the place of Paul. Timothy gives a good report of these are our brethren. There's not a church in Thessalonica anymore that we know of, but these were our brethren at the time. I love that. It's people that he's writing to. They're no different than you and I. Their confession, if we were to meet them right now and they spoke English or we spoke it'd be Greek at the time, then we would have the same confession then as now. They would have the same confession now as then. Christ is all. That's what they believed. Message hasn't changed, has it? Well, I want to show us my title here tonight, verse 2 and 3 again. It says, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and your labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father." I've titled the message, "The Patience of Hope." Patience of hope. Now, what does Paul mean, patience of hope? I looked it up, and there's the word hope's in the scripture a lot. But the patience and hope are only found in the same verse together four times throughout scripture, and this is obviously one of them. What does he mean, patience of hope? Patience of hope is waiting on the Lord who promised. That's what patience of hope is, waiting on the Lord who promised. By faith, believing that he which begun a good work in you will perform it. Believing the Lord Jesus Christ is all. That's what patience of hope teaches us through faith. The Lord teaches his people to wait on the Lord. Now, I'm going to have us turn to Romans, but we're going to go back and forth between Romans and Thessalonians. So hold your place here. Romans chapter 5. Hope teaches the Lord's people to wait on the Lord. Romans 5:1 tells us this: "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace," this grace, "wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." The Lord's people rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Who is that hope? Well, it ain't me. I'm not hoping in me. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? He is our hope. He is our only hope. Before God, in this life and in eternity, he's our only hope. He's our only rest. He's our rejoicing, as Paul's talking about here. He's our everything. Paul said, because of this, because of him being our all, because of the hope that we have, we can rejoice in tribulation. We don't rejoice in the trial that we're, the burden that we're feeling, the pain that we're feeling, but we can rejoice in the God, our God, that sent the trial, looking to him, knowing he doeth all things well. We can rejoice in the tribulation because of who we are looking to. We rejoice in God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says that tribulation, the reason we can rejoice in it is we see the Lord working all things together and revealing that it's all for our good and his glory. And that tribulation, it brings patience. And that patience brings experience. And that experience brings hope. What does that mean? That means by the time we get to our deathbed, we're going to have hope in one thing alone, the Lord Jesus Christ. And right now, if you're a believer, he's already your only hope, isn't he? Right this second. I don't have to wait till I'm on my deathbed. He's all my hope. It's all my hope in this life and before God in eternity. Hope in Christ. He says in verse 5, he said, "Hope maketh not ashamed." Ashamed of what? Ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ashamed of, makes us ashamed of our sin, doesn't it? Not of him. We're not ashamed of him. Tells us why, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. We're hoping in the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work. The Lord's given us a love, one towards another and unto him. He is our hope. Now go back to the text in 1 Thessalonians and hold your place here, because we're going to come back to Romans 4 in just a moment. So what was he speaking of, the love that's shed abroad in the heart? Well, he tells us that there's evidence of this hope. And here's the evidence. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 again. Chapter 1, verse 3. "Remembering without ceasing your work of love and labor, your work of faith, your labor of love and patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said if we have hope in Christ only in this world, we'd be of all men most miserable. But if we have hope in Christ, we're not like all men, because our hope's not just in this life, it's in the life to come. Why? Because of what he did, because of what he accomplished. And when he gives his spirit by his gospel to his people, he shines forth the object of our hope by faith, revealing Christ, and gives us love towards him and towards each other. And then that's what he's talking about here whenever he says your work of faith. What is the work of faith? Look to Christ. Look to, in what? In all things. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Look unto Christ. We don't look at our works, do we, and say, well, I can tell I have faith because I'm doing this and I'm doing that. That's not faith. That's looking to self, isn't it? No, he's talking about the work of faith. What is the work of faith? It is the work of looking to Christ, which we get no glory for whatsoever, because he has to give faith to do so. He says, seek ye my face, and therefore we seek his face. It's not that, well, I know I'm a believer because I chose to look. No, that's a work. No, we look because we've been given the faith to do so. And if we have this hope, it will resonate with our work of faith and our labor of love. This is a labor of love, your love for the gospel right now. You had to drive a car to get here, didn't you? Now, did you do that in order to be saved? No. No, I have to hear the good news of what Christ did for his people. The gospel is a labor of love, isn't it? Towards whom? Towards the Lord and towards his people. It's a labor of love. That's what this hope does in the Lord's people. Now, Psalm 39 tells us, and now, Lord, what wait I for? What am I waiting on? My hope is in thee. It's a rhetorical question, isn't it? I'm waiting for you. My hope is, I have to come here to hear about you. My rest is only found in you. You're my only hope. And whenever that's the case, and we all have the same hope together, this love that's shed abroad in our hearts by the Lord will resonate one towards another and unto him. Can you truly say that you love the Lord Jesus Christ? You love him. If you do, it's because he's made you do so. We see him as God. People don't love the Lord Jesus Christ. They love baby Jesus. They love a God that they can control. But the Lord's people, we love him and we love one another, don't we? Why? Because we have hope. Hope in his finished work. Hope he accomplished everything that he purposed to do. Because of this hope, because of faith given, the Lord's people look to Christ in all things. We have eternal hope. It's not an everlasting hope. Did we know that? No, I'm talking about our hope in him, because it ends in sight. When we see him face to face, we no longer have to hope anymore. We don't have to hope anymore. We see him. We made like him, for we'll see him as he is. We have an expectation of that, don't we? I have an expectation. You have an expectation of seeing him and being made like him. Well, that's our only hope, isn't it? Lord, if I'm not made like you, I have no hope before the throne of God. I've got to be made just like you. You're pleased with your darling son. If I'm not just like him in every way, if he didn't trade places with me on the cross of Calvary and put away my sin, I've got no hope. I've got no hope. But Lord, if he did trade places with me and drink the dregs of that bitter cup dry, the cup of damnation for me, oh, I've got hope before the throne of God. We've been made the righteousness of God in him if he did that for us. We have hope, don't we? We have hope because of what he done. Through the Lord's Spirit, God's people have an expectation. And that expectation is that which the righteousness of Christ has attained for them. What Christ did on the cross of Calvary, what he attained, that's our hope. That's our only hope. We do not have hope in things seen naturally, meaning we don't see evidences to have hope. We hope by faith. by faith. We believe him. We believe that he was successful. We hope in his success. We hope in what his righteousness attained. Hebrews 11 tells us faith is the substance of things hoped for. We have a substance to our hope, don't we? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the evidence of things not seen. Well, what evidence do we have? I remember being in religion and men say, well, if you have faith, there's going to be evidence. That's not what he's talking about. Faith given is the evidence that when Christ was resurrected, he was resurrected for you. If faith has been given to us, see, the evidence is his resurrection. Do we see that? We know that God was pleased with his darling son because Christ was resurrected. That is the evidence. That is the evidence. That's what we look to, is Christ alone. This isn't a wish-based supposition. This is what makes our hope different than any other hope, because our hope's in a person. It's in a person, the person, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what makes our hope totally different than everybody else's. We don't assume that he was successful. We don't assume that. We believe it by faith. We believe it. We don't presume, we don't think or suppose that he might have been successful. We know it. Do you know it, that he was successful? You know that, don't you? Why? Because he's given faith to know that it's true, to believe it, to believe it. We didn't compute and conclude and guess that the gospel is true. We believe God and hope in Christ because of what he accomplished. That's what faith does. We're not surmising. We're not supposing that something is true without having evidence of it. We have evidence that Christ was resurrected. But that's our evidence that God was satisfied with Christ. We have the only religion in the whole world. We have the only true religion. You know that. We have the only religion in the whole world that has evidence. Evidence. And it is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God was pleased with his darling son. And every person that died in him died to the law, died to sin, and was resurrected, never to die again. They were raised to new life. That's what he said, being baptized with him, buried with him in baptism. We are resurrected in him to walk life anew. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I told us we were going to look in Romans chapter 4. I want to show us that. I've told you what the evidence is, and that's the resurrection, but I want to show us in Romans 4. We'll read two verses, verse 24 and 25, Romans 4. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed. He's talking about righteousness. That's how the only way righteousness is acquired is by imputation. We don't merit it. We don't acquire it by doing. It's bestowed. It's imputed. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. That word for is because of. He was raised because of our justification. God was satisfied with his son and therefore resurrected his son because we were justified in his sight. That's our evidence, isn't it? That's our only evidence. We have no self. We have no confidence in self. We have no hope in self and what we do and what we think. We have confidence in what we know. Who we know is what we have confidence in. Not what we know, who we know. Why? Because faith. Faith believes him. There's no evidence found in self. Christ is our hope. Because Christ was risen, Peter actually calls our hope a lively hope. I read just about every verse, and I should have wrote it down, but I believe it was either 63 times or it was 100 and something times that hope's written in the Bible, so I can't remember, and forgive me for that. But either way, I got hope reading every one of them, though. Peter calls it a lively hope. It's not a dead hope. It's a lively hope. What does that mean? Well, the object of our hope is alive and well, seated upon the throne. That's what it means. He says, Peter, 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. Here's how. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We're begotten into this hope. We're begotten by the resurrection of Christ. It's a sure hope because our hope is a person. I want to slow down a second to make this statement. We have a sure hope because it's a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. But the greatest mistake that we could make is trying to find in ourself that which only can be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest mistake that we can ever make is trying to find in ourself that which only can be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. What can only be found in Him? True hope, for one. But how about righteousness? How about sanctification? Can't find that in me. Can't find that in you. We can find it in Him. That's what we hope in. We don't look to ourselves or at ourselves, do we? We look unto Christ. We look to He must be all our hope. 1 Timothy 1:1, Paul opens up the letter to Timothy and says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the command of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. When is He your hope? Right now. And right now. And right. He never stops being my hope. Never stops being your hope, does He? He is the hope of His people. Jesus Christ is our hope in life for all time and for eternity. He is our hope before God. He's our only hope for righteousness before God. He's our only hope for redemption. He's our only hope for justification before God, isn't He? We have hope beyond this life. We have hope beyond the grave because of whom we have believed and that we have been persuaded that He is able. Why are we persuaded? Because He said, be persuaded. Gives faith to do so, doesn't He? Well, go back with me to Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians. Look in chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. See, we have hope after we shed this robe of sinful flesh. We have hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Is that your hope? So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Do you believe that Jesus Christ was resurrected? If you do, you have hope. You have hope. He's coming back for His people. He will not leave His holy. He did not leave His Holy One to see corruption. Every single person that was in Jesus Christ when He died was resurrected in the Lord Jesus Christ as well. He's going to descend. I don't understand it, but I believe it. It's my hope. It's my only hope is that He's not going to leave us utterly to ourselves. Our hope is that His glory given to Him by His Father will be revealed in us. That's what He said over in John 17, isn't it? That's exactly what He said. Father, the glory that You've given Me, I've given unto them. Can you see that right now in yourself? No. No, certainly not, but I believe it. I believe that if He put it there, it's there. I believe it beyond a shadow of a doubt. Why? Because He gives faith to believe it. His glory is in His people right now, and they've always been viewed as perfectly righteous before the throne of God. Name another hope that's better than that. There is none. That's my hope, and that's yours, isn't it? Then He tells them, comfort one another with these words. What other comfort are we going to have in this life other than Christ Jesus' finished work? It's sure, it's certain, it's our hope. We've been made to know who God is. We've seen our sin, haven't we? My hope is not that the Lord put away every single one of my sins except one, and I have to do something to get rid of that one. No, that's not my hope. Because I can't get rid of sin, and neither can you. We have to have the blood that purged us from our sin. Ain't that what the Lord said? When He hath by Himself purged our sin, how did He do it? He said He entered into the holy place by His own blood, having obtained eternal redemption for us. When He, When he entered into that holy place once, the Father said, I am well satisfied. The veil in the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and now we can come in boldly to the throne of grace, having obtained mercy, to find grace to help in the time of need. Is that your hope? That's my hope. That's all my hope. It is finished. If the Lord Jesus Christ is relying on me for one thing, I'm eternally damned. But aren't you glad everything required by the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, produced and then bestowed to his people? Isn't that glorious? He imputed righteousness to his people. He made them sanctified by his own blood. He justified them. His resurrection proves that, doesn't it? It is finished. There's our hope. When he had by himself purged our sin, he sat down. He sat down. He left nothing undone. His work is finished. That's our hope. This hope, brethren, is not something that can be taught by man. We can know the right words to say, but to have this hope from the heart is something that the Lord has to give. It's a gift. It's a gift, and he gives it to every single one of his people. Every single one that he died for will have this hope. They will hear this glorious gospel, and they will believe at the appointed time. They'll be given the exact same hope. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2:16 says, Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. It's all of grace, isn't it? That word consolation means to receive comfort by a person after a loss. Oh, we lost everything in our father Adam, didn't we? We gained so much more back by the Lord Jesus Christ and his own blood. We have true consolation. We've been comforted. How does he comfort his people? By his Spirit, pointing them to Christ, pointing them to their only hope, teaching them to be patient, patiently hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our everlasting comfort. We hope in him. We bow to, what does that mean to be patient? Patience of hope, he's talking about. Well, it means we bow. We're continually being made to bow to his will. We're continually being made to bow in his sovereignty of, in all things. In all things, we are made to bow over and over, hoping in Christ, believing in and on the Lord Jesus Christ. We know this. Hebrews 6:19 says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into within the veil. Where's your anchor? Where's my anchor? It's got to be the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that went within the veil. He's the only one that put away, that did business with God and put away the sin of his people within the veil. It was behind closed. It was open for the world to see, but the Lord created darkness over the place, didn't he? When Christ was doing business with his Father, we weren't allowed to see what that was, what was going on. We don't understand it. We just know what took place by the declaration that it is finished. It is finished. Sin's put away. Now we have an anchor of the soul. Christ is that anchor, and he's sure and steadfast. We have hope in our anchor that everything required, Jesus Christ, the Lord, provided for in him. In Christ. Lamentations 2. You remember Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. He saw Jerusalem. He saw the Israel. And he's like me and you. He had a pity party several times. But one time in particular, he's crying out unto the Lord. And he's lamenting. And that's what the book of Lamentation is. He's weeping for the city. He's brokenhearted. He don't see any hope. But he says this. This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. I've been weeping over this city, I've been weeping over the sin of these people, but this one thing the Lord has brought back to my memory, and I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Is that your hope? It's of the Lord's mercies we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. We can't exhaust them. We can't exhaust His compassion, His faithfulness. We can't exhaust His grace and His mercy. Matter of fact, we've never used up any of it, have we? No, you can't use it. It's infinite. We can't use it up at all. Oh, they're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. There's my hope. Oh, I look at myself. I don't see faithfulness in me. I see my prayer is not faithful. My mind's not faithful. My heart's not faithful. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord. Great is thy faithfulness to your people. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, is what he went on to say. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore have I hope. The Lord's my portion. Is Christ your portion? Oh, I hope so. If he's my portion, I lack nothing. If he's your portion, you lack nothing. You lack nothing. This hope is not a wishful thinking. When I said I hope so, I hope in him. You hope in him. It's not a, I'm going to make a wish and blow out the candles kind of hope. That ain't what we're talking about. See, the object of our hope is not a possibility. Everything that he did is finished. His works were finished from the foundation of the world. There's where our hope rests, is in his work. It's his promise that we hope in. It's his doing. It's his blood alone that we hope in. It's not, well, I hope I'm good enough for the Lord. No, that's not what we hope in. I believe that he was good enough for his Father, and I hope in that. We see the difference? I hope in him. He is our hope. If you can say that he is my hope, did you do anything to acquire him? No. No, we did nothing to acquire. We didn't do anything to earn favor with him. We didn't do anything to procure his affection. There's no hope in that, is there? If I can earn his favor, I can lose his favor. If I can be pleasing unto him for salvation, I can be displeasing unto him in salvation. Christ Jesus was not displeasing to his Father. Christ Jesus could not have failed. I've got to be found in him. He did it all. He alone, the one, the only one did it all. Ephesians 4:4 tells us that there's one body, one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. There's only one hope. There's only one hope. There's only one spirit, there's only one body, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. This one hope is past finding out. We just believe it. You believe that there's one hope? You believe that there's one spirit? You believe that there's one God, one faith, one baptism? If you do, you had to have that faith to believe that. And that's your hope, isn't it? That there is just one. And everything necessary for the salvation of his people, that one, the Lord Jesus Christ, accomplished. We just believe him. We just hope in him. Colossians 1:27 says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's my hope. If Christ is in me, I have hope and glory. I have hope beyond this veil of time that we live in. I have hope, eternal hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's hope of the glory of God in Christ Jesus. Do you know why? Romans 8 tells us, for we are saved by hope. We're saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we patient? With patience, wait. Patience is something that we all struggle with. There's no doubt. Everybody, especially in the society that we live in, we want instant gratification. You can think online businesses for next day delivery and things like that. We want instant gratification. But to the believer, when do you need the Lord? Right now, right now, and right now. And how long are you going to wait for that? Forever. Forever. We're patient waiting for him. We're patient in waiting according to his will. He makes us to be patient, doesn't he? And we might kick for a little while and want something our way. And we were at Walmart the other day and I saw a kid laying on the floor, literally kicking and screaming. And I thought, boy, that's me. That's me wanting things my way, wanting that. And the Lord's not letting me have something, or the Lord's not doing something I think. I'm wanting to be God. That kid wanted to be God, didn't it? That kid wanted to be its parent. I want what I want. Me, me. What does the Lord teach us? Look to Christ. Don't look at yourself. Don't look at your circumstances. Hope in what he accomplished. Patiently hope in his finished work. Patiently hope in his promises. Patiently hope in what he said. If he begun a good work in you, he's going to perform it. And everything that was necessary for salvation, he accomplished. It will be revealed that all of this was put in motion by his purpose. And we're just, somebody told me, if I believe what you believe, I'd be a puppet. Well, I hope I'm his puppet, don't you? I wouldn't mind that at all. If I'm his puppet and we're just going through the motions of life being his puppets, thank God we're in Christ then. I'm his and he is mine. God's elect have been called to patiently hope in his finished work. And in closing, turn back to our text in 1 Thessalonians 1. I want to read those two verses again, verse 2 and 3. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and your labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. We patiently hope in the Lord Jesus Christ alone, patiently hoping and believing him always. David, of all the men in the Bible that you can plainly see his ups and downs. David's a very clear-cut one. You can see read the book of Psalms. One time he's rejoicing, and the next time he's overburdened, nigh unto death, it would seem. The next, and men were trying to kill him. They were going to stone him at one point. Then Saul tried to kill him many times. He was always fleeing for his life. And we see grace in David's life of what the Lord did in continually bringing him back to the truth and not leaving him to himself. That is our hope. Lord, don't leave me to myself. David says this, Psalm 42, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Can you ask that question? Why are you cast down, my soul? You know that he's seated on the throne. You know that it is finished. Why are you cast down, my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. When darkness veils his lovely face, rest in his unchanging grace. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Hope in him. This isn't just a wishful hope. This is a sure hope. This is a good hope. This is a lively hope. And we wait for it patiently with the faith that he gives to his people. Amen.